rosey615@gmail.com. My telephone number is 318-442-6011. Thank you. God bless.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
We've been teaching and preaching a series entitled Living a Disciplined Life. Now, if you want to get the entire flavor of what we have been going over, you're going to have to, for a small donation, get the first Sunday, the second Sunday, the third Sunday, and today, and you put them all together, and you will have what we have been talking about, and what we have been discussing about living a disciplined life. And believe it or not, we as believers, we must live disciplined lives. If we expect to have the impact on this world, if we expect to turn this world upside down, if we expect have men, women, boys, and girls to look at us and say, there is somebody that I admire from a spiritual viewpoint. We must live a disciplined life. Now, the first Sunday, we talked about the description of a disciplined life. And I said that that word describe just means to tell or to write about something. And in that we said that, and of course, let me go back, because there are some people, I need to reorient everybody. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 through 7, and then Luke verse 9, 23. Let's reread that, because we have some people here who have not heard that. Let's look at what 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 7 says. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Verse 2. That he no longer should live to the rest of his time in the flesh, to the lust of men, but to the will of God. You may be seated. Verse 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us, have wrought the will of God, the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries. Verse 4, wherein we think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Go ahead, verse 5. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. And verse 7. We do all this because we know but the end of all things is at hand. And be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Praise God. Luke 9, 23. And he said to them, talking about those men who wanted to follow him, he said, if any man will come after me, let him do these four things. First of all, he had to deny self, take up his cross. Two, not only take it up, but he got to take it up daily. That's an everyday thing. And then follow him. That's devotion. And we're going to talk about, I'm just going to mention those because those are on other CDs. So what we said that the description of a disciplined life encompasses four things. And I was glad that our Sunday school lesson today, praise God, just took and nailed everything down. Amen. Praise God. If you haven't read Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 11 in your life before, which I know you have, praise God, go back and reread that pericope and praise God and see what Paul was saying to his spiritual son, and praise God, what he was saying to that church that was at Philippi. Praise God. Amen. And the very first thing we say, if we want to describe, we want to write about a disciplined life, first of all, it's a life, praise God, that has a particular mind. In other words, it is the mind of Christ. Praise God. Secondly, it was a life that has been marked with militancy because it tells us to arm ourselves. You don't know it. If you don't know it, you ought to know it now. You are in a spiritual warfare. Praise God. Not only that, it's a mind of sharp meaning. That meaning that it's a change. It's been a difference. There's a contrast. All before, you walked, you took care of, you wanted to satisfy self. Now, you must take care. It's a sharp change. You have to take care of the will of God because that's what's now important in our lives. And then finally, after we talked about that, praise God, we said that describing a disciplined life, it's a life that is often misunderstood. Praise God. Since we no longer walk like the world, we no longer talk like the world. Praise God. We're in here. We're not going anywhere. But praise God, because we don't talk like the world, we don't act like the world, folks are going to misunderstand us. And they're going to say some things about us. They're going to call us things such as holy rollers. They're going to call us, hey, what you think she is? You drink, you're holier than thou. They're going to ask and question why we do all of these crazy things. Why you spend all your time in Bible study? Why you spend all your time doing this? Why you spending all your time in choir rehearsal and all the things like that? They're going to look at you as though you are a stranger. Praise God. And that's how we talk about, that's how we describe a disciplined life. But then we went to Jesus Christ when we looked at our second thing. We talked about the directions for a disciplined life. And of course, everybody knows directions. Directions is nothing but instructions for doing something. What directions are we going? And I say, since the compass has four general directions on it, we have north, south, east, we got west. Praise God. And in Luke 9:23, it gives us four distinct directions that we should go. If you want to be a person who is living a disciplined life and there's somebody trying to give you some instruction, where the first bit of instruction they give is you got to deny yourself. And we say that that's going north. Put self out of the way. Put self out of the way. And then after you put self out of the way, praise God, then you got to die. Amen. That's going south because it says take up your cross. Anytime you see taking up your cross, that means that something has to be killed. Amen. And Jesus spoke that way because those folks back in those days knew exactly what the cross meant. Cross did not mean something pleasant. It meant something that was going to be cruel. It means that something has to die. So we say that what got to die has got to be self. Praise God. And then that's moving south. And then I say if we want to take a trip east, it has to be a daily thing, not just on Sunday. Praise God. Hallelujah. Not just Sunday morning, not just Sunday evening, not just on Monday, not just on Saturday. Praise God. This is a daily walk. Praise God. Folks are looking at us every day we get up, every time we get ready to get in our cars, every time we go on the job. Somebody is looking at us every day. So it's a daily walk. And then finally, That's east. Then we want to go west. Follow me. That's devotion. That's devotion. That means that we have to follow him. We've been following ourselves for so long. We've been following ourselves for so long. Somebody said, well, no, Pastor, I haven't been following myself. I've been coming to church and all. Yeah, you've been coming through the door. But you still following self. You have not put self in check. I said that this morning. Praise God. We got to do some introspection. We got to look at self. Praise God. Don't look at your brother. Don't look at your sister. Don't look at mama. Don't look at daddy. Look at self and ask the question, what have I contributed to the predicament that I'm in? Whether or not it's in the family, whether or not it's in your home, whether or not in church. Self. That's devotion. Follow him. And let me tell you something. Man, this morning, Paul had that thing right on the money. Paul had it on the money. He said that we have to follow Christ. We got to take on the mind of Christ. Amen. I wish everybody in here was in Sunday school this morning. Amen. I wouldn't have to reteach a Sunday school lesson. I'm not going to do that anyway. But praise God. And then the last thing that we looked at was the dimensions. Praise God, of a disciplined life. What is the dimension? Dimension means to measure. In other words, how does as a Christian look at your life and see how you measure up to having a disciplined Christian life? Because it's going to take some work. It doesn't happen overnight. I said I had about 13 things. We went over. I could have put about 20 things on that list, but I put 13. We went over last week, I believe, 7 of them. Am I right? That what it was? Let's go back over those because then I'm going to launch off. We won't be long. First of all, I said when you're talking about a dimension, how somebody measure whether or not your life is a disciplined life. Praise God. The first thing, you got to have a disciplined mind and thought life. That was number one, and I'm not going to go over that again because that encompassed that same scripture that we had this morning in Sunday school, Philippians chapter 2, and I focus on verses 5 through 8. Praise God. And then you have to have a disciplined attitude. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Boy, I could stay there all day long and talk about some of these attitudes. And I'm not talking about no attitude of the world. I'm talking about the attitude of folk who say they love God. Boy, we got some attitudes. Then I talk about, they can tell by disciplined time. How are you spending your time? I said, God has given us, I went to Psalms 90. Psalms 90 tell us that our years should be what? 70 years. That's 70 years. And then by reasonable strength, 80 years. That's 80 years. Some people live a little longer than that. Some live less than that. The point is, regardless of how long you live or how short you live, what do you do with the time that you have? Then we talk about disciplined worship. How much time do we put worshiping God? Every person in here got the same 7 days a week. Every person here got the same 6 days to work. And God give us a day to sit down and take some rest. And on that rest day, we ought to come together and worship him. I mean, that doesn't mean that you have to come here. You don't have to. Man, that means that we got to give God some worship.